20 minutes occasionally. Okay, there's a fat girl. I don't know. And you just can't hit.
Airing every day
from noon to 3.
And it does make you contemplate life as you sit there and you say, well, this is depressing. I'll go check Twitter. And it's just all hatred on there. Go to Facebook. Oh, my grandma had liposuction. That's nice. Yeah, check out this. You go to Instagram, you see all the babes there. Think, man, wouldn't I love to live that life? You think about what it would be like if one of those Instagram models just accidentally swiped right on you for once. Go to Snapchat. Oh, got a new one. New notification. That's from Team Snapchat. Damn it. And happy Easter to you, too.
I'm 1340 WKGN.
So, yeah, if you ask me if technology makes people lonely these days, sometimes the only interaction you get is Uber. Or Uber Eats. At least you get some human interaction that way.
Just take the point. I don't want it. Just Cody wins.
Hour 2 kicking off in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Hour 2 headlines. What do you got for us, Draven? Get us on track.
All righty.
A lot of spooky talk for Hour 1.
We got Mike D'Antoni joining Steve Nash out in Brooklyn. Also, Ime Udoka, who also played in the NBA for a long time. Both going to be joining Nash as his assistant coaches. Of course, D'Antoni and Nash have that Phoenix Sun connection with the explosive offense they ran. So, what do you think of D'Antoni coming to Brooklyn? Is this a good move for the Nets?
You know, I think it is a good idea. I mean, D'Antoni has been a really good head coach.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a little surprised that D'Antoni wants to do it, but I guess that might just be the respect and admiration he has for Steve Nash wanting to help him get his career off to a good start. I know some people are probably going to say there's too many cooks in the kitchen now and like there's too many guys around because I believe they brought Amari in too.
Mm, yeah, Amari Stoudemire, right? Yeah, they did.
And I want to say there's another coach on that staff now too. Like they've got like four guys that are pretty big, quote-unquote, egos. But I feel like a lot of people said the same thing about the Lakers last year in terms of Jason Kidd and Lionel Hollins being on Frank Vogel's staff, and they just won a championship, and it seemed to go pretty well. I'd imagine D'Antoni just focuses on the offense, helps Steve tweak the offense.
Mm-hmm.
Steve Nash is trying to put together the staff to help them win, so it's not going to be for lack of experience on that bench, I guess, because he doesn't have the experience, so what he did is just bring in a guy that's been a mainstay in the league for the last 20 years.
Yeah, you can lean on if you need help kind of going through the first-time head coach stuff.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. What about from the players' perspective, what about Kyrie and KD? How do you think about this relationship with D'Antoni?
I would say they respect D'Antoni.
At least you'd hope.
I would imagine they respect D'Antoni. Did D'Antoni ever have any experience on Team USA? I want to say he did, right? Ooh. I thought D'Antoni had some. I want to say he was a part of the Team USA basketball, not as a head coach, but I feel like he like worked as an assistant with Popovich, or maybe it was with Coach K. I don't know. Let me see. National team career, Team USA, he was a coaching staff, Team USA squad. Yeah, he was there with Coach K. The 2006 FIBA. So not good. Not the good team.
2006.
Yeah, that was the year that was bad before the Dream Team team got there. So he did have experience there, but not good experience. So never mind. Or no, wait, he came back for 2012. Okay, that's right. So he was there. So he has some relationship with at least Durant from that.
I don't know.
Kyrie wouldn't have been on the 2012 team.
2011 class, right?
Yeah. Kyrie wouldn't have been on the 2012 team, but Durant was. So at least there's some type of relationship there. So I don't know if there's any respect or what, but D'Antoni's an OG that's been around for a while. So
yes, so I think he has kind of gained that respect. It's going to be curious. So, I mean, we talked about it. A lot of personalities, a lot of egos. See how it goes. You already got – we know how Kyrie and, KD can already be, and then you got all these coaches coming in. It's going to be
– It's going to be fun.
It's going to be fun for sure.
Knicks, bro.
Yeah, what's their game plan
like,
right
no one gives a, no one gives a damn about what they're doing, and that's crazy.
Well, when your best player is Julius Randle, I mean, they got nothing going for him. They don't even have a top draft pick this year either. It's like they're just stuck in limbo. I mean, what, they got ninth pick in the draft or something?
Wow. See what New Zealand just did?
New Zealand?
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
What'd they do? Shut back down?
Yesterday. This was yesterday, like, night, I guess. But, no, I just see it coming across. They, something I think people are, I don't know. They voted to legalize euthanasia for terminally ill people.
Okay.
Wow.
Basically, there's a few European countries I think already have that.
Yeah, you can go ahead and just have your assisted suicide. That's crazy to me. That's a headline.
I think New Zealand was one of the first countries.
Other breaking
that
news, one of the tigers at the Knoxville Zoo has COVID.
How does it?
I'm tired of tigers' stories in Knoxville. Get them out of here.
Pretty sure New Zealand was the one country that like didn't have coronavirus first.
Oh,
they got rid of
it
first because it's like an island, isn't it? Or kind of like an isolated area or something.
Yeah, it's an island. So like, once they went in full shutdown and they stuck that out for a couple months, and then COVID was gone and they were good to go.
Right.
You're running for your
They've been having like full stadium sporting events and everything because it's non-existent in New Zealand though.
Right. I like the music video so far.
Yeah.
I would say I would like to start from the beginning, be able to listen to it a little bit more.
Yeah.
Yeah, but so far pretty interesting.
Okay.
So other, going to the NFL, other news. Left tackle Ronnie Stanley. Man, the Ravens, they're paying people, huh? They played Marlon Humphrey, I guess it's been a few weeks ago, and now they just played their left tackle to a five-year, $98.75 mil extension. Woof.
Got to pay your good players.
Yes, they do. And Ronnie Stanley's been one of their good ones, of course, with this pretty solid running attack they've had the last couple years. They also lost Marshall Yonda to retirement, so got to lock up the good ones while you got them. So, yeah, Ronnie Stanley, 5 years, $98.75 mil extension. Baltimore, they're paying them, paying everybody. I guess it helps when you have a quarterback still on a rookie contract, huh? You can pay everybody else.
This is Lamar's third year, right? So they'll have at least him. They'll have him cheap for at least one more year.
One more year, yep. And then I would, man, that contract he's going to get, probably going to be topping a lot of quarterbacks, I would say. It's going to be interesting. But, yeah, just pay their left tackle. You guys mentioned some COVID issues. Just wanted to talk a little bit about that. Broncos right guard, Graham Glasgow, he's the one that tested positive for COVID-19. You mentioned a Vikings linebacker. I don't think a name's been mentioned out of Minnesota. But so far, the NFL has come out and said, like, all these games are scheduled to be played. The Vikings will be playing the Packers Sunday. The Broncos play, is it the Chargers, I believe?
Yep.
Correct, yep, Chargers.
Big division game.
Yeah, that is a big game.
Both those teams thinking they can get back in it.
Right, and the loser might be kind of done, might put a fork in them at that point.
I would say the loser would be done. The loser would be thinking about the draft.
So, big games, and apparently they all look like they could be played. Of course, could have that, you know, rescheduled to Monday. We'll kind of keep eyes on that. Calvin Ridley, good news on him, Cam. X-rays came negative on the injured foot, so nothing too serious. Won't be out for the rest of the season or anything. They'll probably reassess that later this week. But I got to ask you, Cam, about Matt Ryan's quote about winning them all. He said, you know, he pretty much got asked. He's like, just looking at the rest of the schedule, why couldn't we go out and just win them all? Why couldn't we?
Why not us?
Yeah, he said, why can't we win them all? That's the mindset I have.
Just got to go 1-0 each week.
1-0 each week.
His arm is shot. I feel like his arm is shot.
Hey, but he's got the wheels
pass,
now.
He's got the mobility now.
Yeah, dual threat. Okay, that's fair. But there was that one pass especially, like, when he threw to Hayden Hurst, that Hayden Hurst had to pick up off the ground.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, bro, he's wide open. You, like, shot put it out there to him, and he has to pick it up off, like, the ground, like, off his toes. Like, just, I was just like, that's such a bad throw.
Not good, but Hayden Hurst is a stud.
Hayden Hurst is good. You were right about that.
He's pretty solid. Now we started using him.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know if his stats are where, like, we thought they were going to be, like, in terms of, you know, like fantasy production and all that, but he seems to be open a lot and catch the ball and they throw it to him. So
yeah, that's all I can ask. So yeah, why not us?
Why not?
We're going.
Some college football news. Bowl season officially has a schedule. So ESPN will televise 35 of the 37 bowls. There's going to be 37 bowls this year. It'll be starting with the fan favorite, Tropical Smoothie Cafe Frisco Bowl, December 19th. Let's go. And it'll conclude with the College Football Playoff National Championship, January 11th. It says once the bowl season starts, there will be at least one game every day through January 2nd, except for two Sundays in that time frame.
That's
so we're
going to
be getting some good college football. Going to get these bowl games rocking and rolling.
We'll wait to see.
Well, what, do you have some doubts? Or?
Well, let's just wait to see on the bowl games. Like, we got Trevor Lawrence with COVID right now. Let's just wait to see what happens
December. That's true.
Although the virus is going to be gone in 4 days, so it's going to be fun.
You said that. You might be right. We'll see. But, what do we think? UT? They're going to be eligible for a bowl. What bowl? What bowl are we expecting? Can we have some bowl talk?
No.
Too soon for bowl talk?
I mean, we just probably got to win like two more games to officially be. Like, I know everyone's going to be eligible this year, but like, they're still not going to like reward like the 2-win team. So maybe we get to 4-6, we'll get a good guilt-free bowl trip. So let's just wait to see.
Yeesh. How excited would you be for a bowl sitting at 4-6, or even could be worse, 3-7, still being able to go to a bowl game? I just I don't know how exciting how exciting that would be, but we'll see what happens. Hey, long season ahead. So, yeah, the Cowboys, looks like Andy Dalton is not going to play, but they're not ruling him out officially for the Sunday night game.
All right.
So there's some excitement. I know you guys are worried about it.
Andy
worried about
Dalton,
that Sunday night game.
Back, baby.
So Dalton could be back, but as of right now.
DiNucci.
I think I'd rather watch DiNucci.
Would you?
Just get murdered.
Just, we don't know what DiNucci is.
Derek Burnett's going to take his head off.
We know.
I know what DiNucci is. He's a six-round pick from James Madison. This guy don't need to touch the field. Come on.
You would have said the same thing about Tony Romo.
I
would have said the same thing about Tony Romo. And look at him.
Uh-oh. Is this origin story time? Uh-oh.
Is this the next guy? This next Tony Romo right here coming out on the field?
I'll tell you who's not the next guy.
Andy Dalton.
Andy Dalton's not the next guy. We know that. We know that Andy Dalton's not the next guy, so what's it matter?
Why not DiNucci?
Why not DiNucci? DiNucci. I'll follow up if he's good, and you can just say, DiNucci.
DiNucci.
Any chance of an upset there? You guys feeling
an
upset?
Yeah, the Eagles suck. There's a chance. I mean, you guys suck way more, so probably not, but there's a chance.
Man.
I'm not going to say and act like the big, bad Eagles aren't, you know, beatable.
Yeah.
DiNucci.
You never know. You never know. Maybe.
That's what I'm saying. Play him.
DiNucci.
Play him.
We don't want your quarterback, DiNucci.
I don't know about it. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what happens. Some other NBA news. Woj just came out and tweeted that NBA players are going to be tested every day for the coronavirus and have to return.
Every day.
Yep. Have to return a negative test each time. To be allowed to participate in off-season workouts at team facilities.
Seems
Oof.
Like a lot.
So they're not going to get tested like at home. They're just getting tested if they try to go to facilities. Is that what they're saying?
Yeah, that's kind of what it sounds like, yeah. But the kind of crazy thing is every single day, I guess every single time you have to get tested before you, I guess team facilities. So, yeah, you do have to enter the building, which I guess makes a little bit more sense. But this will be interesting. What do we think about NBA season with no bubble? Is there going to be problems?
It's probably going to be a disaster.
You think so?
Yeah.
I just think, I mean, obviously
especially in December.
Right.
That's scary.
And we saw last
Although
year.
Although the virus is going to be gone in 4 days, everybody, everything's going to be fine.
Keep saying that.
Don't worry about it.
Keep saying that.
The virus is going to be gone in 4 days, and we're back to normal. Everything will be good.
Yep.
We'll see. We'll see about that one. I don't know. I don't know about it.
DiNucci.
But also, man, the Badgers, it just keeps getting worse for them, The Badgers, they get 16 active COVID cases. So the Badgers just getting worse and worse at this point.
Are they digging themselves a hole?
Yeah. Do what?
Badgers
came
like
over here
to
with
dig.
This Badgers burrowing trick joke over
good
here.
Good one. Good one.
It was a good one.
But yeah, no, 16 new positive cases.
Is
so.
Is that a word yet on the show?
No. Well, he said the one thing about he saw Thriller. That was about it.
Okay.
He's in the zone.
You good, Hayden?
He's struggling. He had to wake up at 8 o'clock this morning.
Yeah,
he's struggling.
It's rough.
He said one word, and that was just, yeah, I saw Thriller. That's all he's offered for the show today. All right, good batch of headlines. Anything else?
Nah.
I'm just curious about this New Zealand thing. So, like, if you are terminally ill, can you, like, go to New Zealand?
Do you have to be a citizen?
That's what I'm saying. Like, can you just like go there? Like, are they gonna become the country that just like kills our people that don't want to?
There's got to be another country somewhere.
There's some European ones. I can't remember which ones, but I think some of the Scandinavian countries. It's fair game there.
It's interesting.
Yeah. Okay. All right. We'll get into some college football or NFL football next. Find out. We'll decide after the break. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. All right, let's start with college football. Game of the week, Ohio State, Penn State, I guess. That's number one. Really zapped by that Penn State loss. Got to be honest. It was cool for Michael Penix.
But it does kill this game.
Happy for Michael Penix, but, it does really kill this game. Really kills this game. It hurts. Because otherwise, this is a big-time matchup. It still is when it's Penn State versus Ohio State. But, it's one of those that feels like they don't really have a shot in this game.
Yeah.
Although James Franklin has a pretty good reputation. He has a pretty good track record of succeeding in moments like this. I don't know if you guys have realized, but James Franklin, his last eight games as an underdog, 7-1 against the spread. Draven, go over to mybookie.ag, please, sir. And what's the spreads currently sitting at? Because last time I saw it, it was like 11.
What game, you say?
It's 12.
What game?
It's 12.
Ohio State, Penn State, the game of the weekend. What do you mean?
I have it 12 and a half.
I got it 12 right now.
Yeah, I got 12 also. So it's still double digits.
Yep.
James Franklin has been a double-digit underdog four times at home. A double-digit home underdog four times. He has won one outright and lost two by a touchdown or less. So he's 3-1 against the spread at home as a double-digit underdog. One outright win, two really close losses. And like I said, James Franklin as an underdog in general, 7-1 against the spread his last eight. Three outright wins, 2 1-point losses. So, like, he's usually pretty good at motivating an underdog team. And that goes back, I think, to his time at Vanderbilt as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, like, he's been pretty good in these situations. Now, I would think that the one against the spread that they did not cover, they didn't cover last year against Ohio State, right? Or did they? Because I feel like they were getting blown out at first, then they got it closed, like, because Ohio State fumbled a kickoff.
Oh, yeah.
And then I want to say, like, that ended up still being, like, a 20-point game, though, right?
I think
last
so.
Last year was Ohio State 28, Penn State 17.
Okay, so I guess that would have most likely been a cover then, right?
I don't know. I feel like they probably wouldn't have only been, like, a touchdown favorite than most.
No. Really? You think so? Like, Ohio State at home, I would imagine they were much bigger favorites than that.
Wasn't Penn State pretty good last year, though?
They're number eight in the
Penn
country.
Penn State's covered the last four.
Yeah, okay, so Penn State covered, yeah.
The last four matchups, yes.
Because okay, I was going to say, like, Ohio State, was usually in college, I mean, like, these good teams are usually like 14-point favorites at home against anybody, pretty much. But Penn State only got their points in the third quarter. They were shut out in three of the four quarters. Got 17 in the third quarter. They got a touchdown. Then, yeah, there was a fumbled kickoff, and they get the ball back again and had to kick a field goal, and they're down four, and then you know, never really felt like they were going to win the game, but hung around and did enough, I guess. So James Franklin's been pretty good in this situation in terms of underdog motivating his team. I think his problem has been games like last week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Where he's favored big over a team, and they just felt like they blow one of those a year, right?
Yeah.
Like, he almost never beats Ohio State straight up either. Like, when's the last time he's done that? Has he beaten Ohio State straight up since being there?
They won 2 years ago.
Yes, I think they did it once.
They won it 2018 on that block field goal, ran it back for a touchdown.
I guess Ohio State?
Yeah.
I know there's one with McSorley where they had a chance and they ran like a 4th-and-5 quarterback draw. And everyone's like, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah, I do remember that one.
2018, Penn State lost to Ohio State, 27-26.
I think that was that the quarterback draw? I think that one was the quarterback draw.
So, yeah, McSorley was quarterback. Yeah, 27-26, and then 2017 they lost again.
I don't think he's beating them.
They lost by 1 point back to back years. 2017 they lost 39-38.
He comes close, but I feel like, I mean, there was a blocked field goal in there one time, Hayden, that I think got them in the game.
Didn't win it,
but I don't think they've won it.
Okay. They beat them in 2016.
Oh, okay,
24-21.
There goes that. Maybe that was
the game then. Pretty sure they won that on a blocked field goal, didn't they?
Okay, maybe. I don't know. I thought there was one like last year or 2 years ago that got them like jump started, but they ended up still losing. So they beat them in 2016.
Yep.
Was Ohio State good in 2016? I assume they were, but
yeah.
Was that the Cardale Jones year? That was the Cardale Jones year, though, right? Where they didn't have a quarterback. Well, they had a quarterback, but they're like, because they won the championship in 2015, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or was that like I guess
14?
It was the 15.
Yes, it was played in 2015.
JT Barrett was the quarterback in 2016. For Ohio State. Okay. Yeah.
Ohio State was number 6, Penn State was number 7.
Okay.
Yep.
So that game, you know, it's supposed to be close, just according to this, but, like, I don't know. Did you guys watch a lot of Indiana-Penn State this weekend or this past weekend?
I watched a decent amount of it.
Like, is Penn State any good? I mean, I know they lost to Indiana, so they can't be too good. But like, are they
weren't like dominating them. Like, there was times where they were able to, like, you were like, okay, they definitely have better talent than Indiana. Like, that showed at times, but also just Indiana was just schemed better for them.
What's their quarterback look like?
He was solid. He was pretty solid.
Is it a playmaker? Because I feel like if you're going to beat Ohio State, you have to have like a playmaker that can. Obviously, that can't outduel Justin Fields, but like, you're going to have one. Like, because like Penn State last year had a boring quarterback.
It's the same guy. I'm pretty sure.
Then, yeah, they're not beating them. Then never mind.
He had that long touchdown run against Indiana, if I remember right, where he somehow. Picks,
though, yeah, no. If that's still the guy, if it's the guy from last year, they're not beating them.
Yeah, it's Sean Clifford.
Nope, not beating them. Last year against Ohio State. What I mean, just to prove my point, like last year against Ohio State, he was 10 of 17 for 70 yards.
Woo.
Right? I mean, 10 of 17 for 70 yards. Like, he's not beating Ohio State.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's the same guy.
Yeah.
It is, because against Indiana, he was 24 of 35, 238 yards, 3 touchdowns, 2 interceptions.
Yeah.
He did have
17 rushes for 119 yards.
Yeah,
so is he a runner now, or is that just one long run?
It was just...
I guess it was only 35
Indiana
yards.
Indiana just looked terrible.
Yeah, but like, I guess it was only a 35-yard run. That was his longest, so I guess he still did...
He was making plays like that, where he would just, like, scramble first down.
Okay.
But I think that was more just Indiana not seeing him as a running threat and just kind of letting that happen.
Yeah. You know what? I'm taking that off the board in terms of the game of the weekend. No thanks. Sean Clifford, nope.
Yeah.
Nope. Although, like, I'm telling you, James Franklin, I mean, is supposed to cover these. Like, he is a guy that motivates a team. He is a pretty good motivator, right? I mean, you don't go to Vanderbilt and win 9 games unless you convince those guys that they're just as talented as the other team. And can play the disrespect card. Because, I mean, like, Vanderbilt didn't have any like more talent than anybody when he was there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
And he was still able to win games. And I think you do that by being a good motivator. And he's done that as an underdog so far at Penn State. Although, when I click on Sean Clifford's profile, guys, I don't know if this is a good sign, but the first video that pops up is, Franklin, : death threats aimed at Penn State quarterback are, quote, concerning.
Concerning.
So, I don't know.
Problematic.
I don't feel like that's a good sign for a home game if they're already sending death threats to their quarterback. Oof. Now, maybe, is this an old video, maybe? Did he get death threats last year? I don't know when the date on this is.
You know that
Because the next video set to play is Clifford's big day leads Penn State to win on the road. So, like, it could have been last year. I don't know.
Yeah. Probably was.
It just doesn't make me feel good if he's already getting death threats. Hopefully it wasn't after losing to Indiana. Can we look up the Sean Clifford death threats? Can we find out the date on that?
Yeah, it was November 9th of last year when they lost to Minnesota.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, he told reporters that he was receiving death threats from fans.
That story felt a little old. That's why I wanted to make sure, because it was the first video that popped up, but sometimes these just do autoplay and just keep playing.
Like their passion.
Oh, boy.
At least we haven't had to have that story, right? Like, at least, have we had any? I mean, I guess...
I would not be surprised.
Didn't JG say people were coming at him on social media?
I don't know. Was anybody threatening to kill him? Was he getting death threats? I mean, I know. I know he gets when he logs on Twitter.com. He does not come to a warm welcome. I understand that, but have we had to address like any death threats?
I'm sure somebody's taking it that far.
Didn't he turn his comments off on his post?
No. He says he reveals he got death threats.
Yeah. I would say, I know somebody has taken it that far. Our fan base is too a little wild for that.
November 23rd, 2019. Following the win, I guess this was, I don't know what win this would be.
Following a win?
That'd be like, that'd be Vanderbilt, November 23rd, or the week before, I guess.
Last year?
Yeah.
That would be Vandy.
No, it was the week before.
Why would we be giving him death? That was Missouri, right?
I don't know. The 23rd could either be the week the day after Thanksgiving. Or, like, you know, the week.
And we do usually play Vandy around then.
It might have been the Vandy game, but I don't know. Either way, it says following the win, the quarterback admitted that he received death threats this year during his struggles. There were so many guys there for me throughout the death threats, the mean messages to the sister. They were all there for me. It really meant a lot. I guess people were saying mean stuff to the sister, too. So.
You said at November 23rd?
Yeah.
That was when we played Missouri. So I'm guessing he was after he played.
Oh, that was like
after he
redemption.
Dropped 400 yards. Yeah, screw you guys.
Yeah.
Death threat this. Okay, so we have had to have the death threat story, so never mind Penn State.
Huh?
And Thanksgiving is the fourth Thursday, and is it the fourth or third Thursday?
I think it's the third.
It's the fourth.
It's got to be the fourth.
It's the fourth, right? Yeah. It's never like
most were always 4 weeks, weren't they? Like right around 4 weeks? How was there?
Well, I mean, months, I mean, there'd be four Thursdays if there's 4 weeks.
That's fair enough.
And some have like five of them.
That's fair enough. Mass.
Well, I was just going to say, it's never been in the teens, and it could theoretically be in the teens if it was the third Thursday.
Yeah.
So it's never been in the teens. Okay, so fourth Thursday. Glad we talked that out.
I don't know.
I just remember that.
What a terrible end of the segment that was.
I'm pretty sure the Vanderbilt game was like on the 30th, right? In the very end of the month.
When is Thanksgiving this year? The 26th.
It's fourth Thursday in November.
Whatever the fourth Thursday
in November
is.
It's the fourth Thursday in November.
Yeah.
That checks out. Yeah. The more you know.
This segment is brought to you by Craft Axe Throwing. Use the promo code FANRUN for 15% off your booking. Take a big group. Go dress up as goblins.
Or Batman.
Or Batman and practice your axe throwing. And grow your hair out and be Mel Gibson from The Patriot and show off your axe throwing. Use the promo code FANRUN so they know we sent you and you get 15% off your booking. CraftAxeThrowing.com, located minutes from downtown Knoxville. Stick with us. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. All right, let's get to some college football picks. How did we do last week? I don't think I did well in my college football picks. I don't think I did well.
Well, you told people Middle Tennessee. You got that, I think. But
yeah,
but
I didn't make it my pick. But
yeah, but you said TCU over 59.5.
Terrible pick
in that game.
Terrible pick.
Hayden had TCU plus 6.5.
TCU is trash, and Oklahoma. I think Lincoln Riley. Not to do an Oklahoma segment, but I feel like Lincoln Riley realized like, hey, we got to throw in the towel on the Spitzer Rattler thing, like. He's not Kyler Murray. He's not Baker Mayfield. Mm-hmm. We got to slow this down because they're like, we're running the ball. They're like trying to control the clock, like 5-6 yards a carry, bleed the play clock. And I was like, that's not good for my over. Don't appreciate that, Lincoln. And then they let Spencer throw like a deep ball down the field and it'd be like a 50-50 ball and the receiver would catch it. But I'm like, yeah, I can understand why they're not letting him throw the ball down the field because he's reckless.
He's not the same as the other guys.
He is not. I mean, he's a freshman, a redshirt freshman, but a freshman nonetheless. So like, he's got a year at least to figure it out.
Got an extra year with the extra eligibility.
Yeah, I'm just saying if he wanted to go pro, like three and done pro, like he's got like another year, which I don't see him being that guy. So,
Draven hit his. He had Iowa State plus 3.5.
Good job by that. Last second cover left. They left the back door open. Never leave the back door open with the hook,
sure
boys.
Did.
A 3-point Iowa State loss, and I will say, Draven, a win's a win. We don't apologize for those. However, they looked awful. They looked awful.
Mm-hmm.
But again, we don't apologize for wins here.
Sure don't.
Yeah,
and how'd Hayden
regardless.
Do?
He had TCU plus 6.5.
Loss. That was it?
Yeah, and I missed mine,
I'm sure there's a bonus pick there somewhere. Was there a bonus pick?
Oh, Coastal Carolina.
Oh, you hit that.
Yeah,
there we go.
Coastal
there
always
go.
Hits. Yeah. That's never
go.
Doubt.
You got the bonus pick.
Them and BYU, they're carrying me this year.
Them and BYU. All right, what do you got for us this week, Hayden?
Well, I like these two games. So, we're going to do the two-team teaser this week. Uh-oh. Maybe we'll get it right instead
of
the three-team.
I hate teasers in college.
Well, you're going to like this one.
I don't think I'm going to like this one. I don't like teasers in college. I've been telling you. Have you guys hit a college teaser yet?
Yeah.
I have, just not the one I gave people.
Just not the one you gave people? Okay.
Mm-hmm. This one's going to hit, though. I'm telling you. Here we go. 6-point teaser. Ooh. LSU has dropped to -1.5 now. They've dropped a whole point since we've been on the since I've been here.
Who are they playing?
Auburn.
Where's the game at?
It doesn't matter.
At Auburn, right?
Doesn't matter.
I'm trying to think where that game is. Is it at LSU?
I don't know where it's at. Doesn't matter.
I feel like it matters.
Auburn sucks.
Okay. I mean, LSU's not great either, but okay.
Their offense looked pretty good last week.
I mean, okay.
New
it's
freshman quarterback.
It's at Auburn.
Okay, fine. Doesn't matter. 6 points, then bring it up to +4.5.
Don't like this already. Don't like this at all. You're
taking
a road college team.
2.5. Anyway, it doesn't matter. The other one is
1.5. It would be 4.5.
I know, but it was at 2.5 originally when I first made it.
3.5, right?
Yes.
Right.
Thank you.
4.5. Okay.
So I get the math for over there. Ohio State starting at -12. You're gonna tease them down to 6. So the teaser: LSU +4.5. Ohio State -6.
Just want to go on record. This is one of those situations. It's just one of those situations where I feel like I'm going to tell you I would rather have Auburn plus the 7.5. The home team getting 7.5. I would, and just in this teaser situation, I would rather have Auburn getting the points at home rather than a true freshman quarterback going on the road. That's all I'll say. It's kind of like the Washington Cowboys game. Like, I get that you want to tease one of these games, but I think you're on the wrong side here. If you haven't put it in yet, I would consider changing it.
No.
Okay. All right. Just everyone remember. Everyone remember what I said. I feel much better about Auburn's opportunities to keep it within a touchdown.
Really?
Yes. LSU stinks.
Auburn is worse than LSU.
That's fine. I'll take the home team when that happens. And the extra 2.5 points.
Okay. All right.
2.5, 3.5. What does it mean? 2.5 points.
Okay.
We'll see. We'll see.
All right, we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah. Just like we saw with the Cowboys and Redskins. It's the last football team.
We'll see.
Okay. All right, so lock him down. He's got Ohio State -6 and LSU +4.5 on the road at Auburn.
6-point teaser, yeah.
All right, Draven, what do you got for us?
If it ain't broke, don't fix it, right? I'm taking Texas over Oklahoma State. +3.5 again. How beautiful is that? 2 +3.5s. I get that half just to feel safe.
At Oklahoma State?
It is. It is at Oklahoma State.
Our college football picks are brought to you by MyBookie.ag. Use the promo code Knoxville for a 100% deposit bonus. You bet, you win, you get paid. They'll have plenty of prop bets. Even make your own prop bets for NFL Sunday. Do they let you do that for college games or no? Have we ever tried to make our own props for college games?
Yeah, I think you can do that. Okay. If I remember correctly, I was able to do it.
Okay, I know you can do it for the NFL. I don't know if you can do it for college or not.
But touch college as much.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I was gonna say like most sites don't offer near as many props for college games as they do NFL. So I was just wondering if you could name your own prop there. As well.
I can't check at the moment because of course they usually don't drop them till day of.
Yeah, props usually.
Well, actually, Minnesota, Maryland tonight.
MyBookie.ag promo code Knoxville. You bet, you win, you get paid. Gamble responsibly. All right, Draven, what do you got for us?
Texas.
Oh, yeah, he just
said that.
I did just say that. That's Texas, +3.5. Texas does this every year, John. They lose the teams. They lose the teams they should beat.
They'll beat one team.
They lose to Maryland, then they turn around and beat Oklahoma. This is Texas.
You aren't wrong.
Oklahoma State, they're getting way overhyped.
I'm just worried about Texas. We talked about it yesterday. I'm worried about them off the field.
Some issues going on
The eyes of Texas. There's a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes, with Herman. I don't know how good they are. Oklahoma State does have more to play for, although we do know that Oklahoma State loses these games. Yep. We do know that. They're good for one of these games. They don't win big games, right? That's why they never make it to the playoff. That's why they always
blow it.
Fall short.
Yep.
So Texas +3.5.
Love having that half, too, just in case. Like Iowa State, just get it to a field goal. Even if you just get to a field goal, we're good to go. So okay. +3.5.
Okay.
Take the Longhorns.
Okay. Cam, what do you got for us?
I'm actually sticking in the Big 12 as well.
What are you guys doing with your Big 12 football? I feel so gross.
I know.
With the Big 12.
Kansas State, number 16 in the country. Yeah, they lost their quarterback a couple weeks ago, but they had their backup. He is a freshman, but last week he played really well for him, and he's more of a dual threat anyways. So they are +4.5. At West Virginia this week, and I think even with this quarterback, they are still good enough to cover that spread against West Virginia, and it will be close anyways, I think, because West Virginia has the top-rated defense in the Big 12.
So who are you taking in that game?
Kansas State, +4.5.
I like Kansas State, too, but, Kansas State, are they going with the backup quarterback this week?
He played last week, though, and he looked pretty solid, and he's more of a dual threat, for
I was
sure.
In on Kansas State. I started doing a little reading about it, and, it worried me a little bit because I think I still like them, but I saw that Kansas State has actually only outgained one opponent this year in terms of yards, and that was Kansas. That's the only team they actually, outgained.
Well, that was the only game this quarterback has started, so.
Okay, there we go. usually, people will say, there's a pretty, snap reaction gambling rule, and it's usually if a ranked team is on the road and the home team that's unranked is a favored, usually it's an automatic bet for the unranked home team that's favored.
Mm-hmm.
Usually that's how it goes. Now I don't know about now, with no crowds, and even last year, let's see, this season ranked teams on the road versus unranked teams 9-17 against the spread.
Okay.
Now, last year, for a full year, they went 51-40, so they actually covered more than not. But usually that's an automatic bet whenever you see the ranked team on the road be underdogs, usually you just take the home team and say that's going to be a big atmosphere. Although, again, with home without lack of home crowds, I don't know.
I just think that West Virginia defense is good enough to keep the score low and close. And Kansas State, I think, will, you know, try and run the ball to keep, you know, their quarterback safe, things like that. I think it'll just be close enough to where it's within 4.5.
And like I said, I agree with you. I'm just looking at the other side, just like letting people know. We know that this is usually a system play the other way.
Yeah.
Dating back to 2017, there have been 13 instances of a team ranked outside the top 15 as an underdog or 4 points or less on the road versus an underdog versus an unranked team. Those 13 teams are 2-11 straight up and against the spread. So, like, Kansas State's working against some bad trends here. Just a heads up there.
Well, you can always lock in Coastal Carolina for the win this weekend.
You can always just lock in Coastal Carolina. Look, I am I'm going to put my money where my mouth is, where I told Hayden, give me Auburn. Lock me in with Auburn.
Auburn.
Yep.
You taking them straight up? Or
I'm going to take the points for the sake of this. Okay, I don't get extra credit here on the pick segment. Yeah, I mean, I don't get extra credit here for picking the money line. You guys don't give me, well, it's plus 120, so here's an extra 20% credit. That's not how it works.
I'll give you more credit.
Over the past 5 years, well, lock me in for the money line then. Okay. Actually, no. Okay, keep the spread. The spread. Auburn and LSU are going to play a dumb game. I could easily see a 23-21 victory by LSU. Like, that's happened in the past. Like, I'll take the 2.5 points.
Yeah.
But over the last 5 years, Auburn, who has been labeled here on the show by one Hayden Wallen, got a winner as a head coach. Gus Malzahn, a winner. Auburn has been a home underdog 6 times. The Tigers have covered 5 of those 6 games and won 4 outright. So, like, we talked about James Franklin being good in the situation. Auburn has been good in the situation as well.
Okay.
Gus covers as a home dog, and he wins usually. So, give me, you know, last time this happened was Alabama last year. They were 3.5-point underdogs, won the game. 2019 against Georgia, they were home underdogs, did not win that game. But all the other ones, number one against Alabama in 2017, 5-point underdogs, won by 12. Against Georgia, 2.5-point dogs, won by 23 in 2017. 2016, 3-point dogs against LSU, won by 5. And in 2016, against number 2 Clemson, were 8-point underdogs, lost by 6. So Gus is good at home against the spread. Give me Auburn. Lock it in. Okay. I don't feel good about Bo Nix, but damn it, let's go Auburn.
All right, some Tiger-on-Tiger violence going on.
Give me the Alabama Tiger.
Okay, over the Bayou Bengal.
He's slightly more inbred, but less on, like, meth and corn dogs, I think. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
The Bayou Bengal will be drunk.
And plus, Ed Orgeron has got a lot of drama going on these days.
Tigers!
LSU's got a lot of drama. They had another guy opt out yesterday, too. Right? Didn't they have, like, another linebacker opt out?
They're trimming the fat.
Trimming the fat.
Yeah. Ed O's getting caught with his nudes. This woman. He went on Pardon My Take this week. I'm just you got other things to worry about, man.
Yeah.
Give me Auburn.
I like that.
Auburn.
That.
Auburn thrives as a home underdog. And when they win by at least 5, I'm going to tell Hayden what he can do. Stay tuned for Monday to find out what you can do. All right, those are our college football picks. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Back on the program, Brandon asks, which I guess is a fair question. I guess as we're going to talk more sports gambling as we are here, you know, loaded up with our gambling sponsors and gambling's coming to the mainstream. Maybe we should help the audience some. Brandon asks, can you explain what the hell a teaser is? Fair enough.
Okay,
teaser is a multiple game. So you have to take more than one team, at least 2, and you get... The standard teaser is, you can get more points, but the standard teaser is a 6-point teaser, which means you get 6 points in your favor on the spread. So, for instance, let's say the most popular teaser I like doing is in the NFL, you'll have like 7-point favorites, right? You'll have a team favored by 7 points. You do a teaser, you get them down to 1 point. That's kind of my favorite to do. That's the most effective ones to do. So, you have to pick 2 games. So theoretically, let's look at the NFL, right? Who are some 7-point favorites? Like a good teaser this week would be built around like the Titans, who are -6. You tease them down to straight up, and you pair them, let's say, with the New Orleans Saints. Now, I'm not advocating doing this just yet, but this would be the other game that would make the most sense to do it at.
Or Packers, -6.5.
Where are the Packers at? I'm not seeing them on my website right now. Are they on there?
Yeah, I see them at minus 6.5.
Okay. Who are they playing?
The Vikings.
Okay, so yeah. So maybe I think they're taking off the board on mine because of the COVID stuff. So, yeah.
I don't have them either.
So, like, yeah, so if the Packers go back up as a 6.5-point favorite, you would be Titans straight up, Packers minus a half a point, which means as long as it doesn't finish in a tie or they lose, you would win the bet. You have to win both bets to get credit for it. So the Titans would have to win and the Packers would have to win by at least 1 point. Standard pay on a two-team teaser would be basically the same as a straight bet. You would bet $55 to win $50. Mm-hmm. Now, there are other variations of that where you can get like a three-team teaser with 10 points or a four-team teaser with 13 points. But that gets a little bit more confusing. The standard one is basically you get 6 points in your favor on the spread. Now, you can do two teams or up to like 10 mm-hmm. in terms of how many you want to do, and then the payout gets better, obviously, the more teams you put on there. So that's what Hayden was doing. He was taking two teams and getting 6 points his way on the spread. Speaking of the Titans, Bengals, Not a good Friday for the Titans as they're on the practice field. You got A.J. Brown back. You got Clowney back. You got Dennis Kelly and Jonathan Joseph. But Adoree Jackson, not on the practice field. Christian Fulton, not on the practice field. Ty Smith, not on the practice field. Dane Cruikshank, your backup safety also.
Your entire secondary there?
Pretty much. Besides, like I said, Jonathan Joseph practice. You got Malcolm Butler. You know, you got Byard and Vaccaro out there, but the Titans look a little thin right now in the secondary. Oof. And that's not a good sign, up against the Bengals, who can move the ball through the air. Now, I will say with how bad the Bengals are, like protection, like this has to be a game where your defensive line eats.
Well, I feel like no game plan for that. And if you don't have any good corners, they're just going to do those quick routes.
Yeah.
That Saints kind of offense and just snap and throw.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. I still advocate for the over there. Any other college football takeaways? Like, I do like, I guess in the SEC, we should pay attention, or at least, the East, Georgia versus Kentucky. Is Joey Gatewood starting this week?
He is. I was actually talking to a Kentucky fan yesterday, but yeah.
Terry Wilson bitched?
He has hand injury or something. Oh. He's got some sort of injury that conveniently probably popped up in time for this game. Probably nothing serious, but yeah, they are going with Joey Gatewood this week, so he's getting his first action against that defense. So.
Well, if you're Kentucky, like Terry Wilson wasn't going to give you a chance against Georgia.
Mm-mm, not at all.
I don't think Gatewood's going to beat him either, but at least as a Kentucky fan, you feel like you're going to have a chance.
Yeah, I think you'll see kind of what you have with Gatewood from this game a little bit. Like,
I think the best noon game, and maybe like low key the best game of the weekend, it might actually be Memphis Cincinnati.
Yeah, I think it would at least be the most entertaining, probably.
Memphis at Cincinnati. I Cincinnati got swept last year by Memphis, right? Didn't Memphis beat them twice last year?
Yeah.
Memphis came out feeling really good about that beatdown about SMU. However, like, that game was closer than the score was. Mm-hmm. They got a couple late touchdowns. Now, they were in control of it, don't get me wrong, but I don't think they beat them down as bad as the score showed until the very end. So Memphis comes in with a better offense. Do you think Memphis has anything for Cincinnati, can kind of spoil them? Because, right now, low-key at number 7, they're going to have at least a 10% shot of being number 4.
They're trying. Like, they're fighting for their playoff possibilities.
Again, I don't think it's likely. Like, I'd give it like a 10% chance, though.
But, yeah, if they keep winning, they'll have a shot, like you said. Memphis has had their number, so I still think Cincinnati wins, but it'd probably be close. It should be a high-scoring, back-and-forth kind of game.
Well, Memphis got to score against that Cincinnati defense, has actually been really good, especially against that level of competition. Again, we talked about it earlier this week. Like, Luke Fickell probably set up to be the biggest name, like, if there is a coaching search across the country this year.
This is no doubt Cincinnati's toughest game left on their schedule.
Yeah, no doubt.
Houston, ECU, UCF, Temple, Tulsa, like they could easily win out if they can get past this game.
And like I said, that's a double-edged sword when you're Cincinnati because like you have no other like resume builders.
Yeah.
Now you'll have like a conference championship game and they'll probably play like SMU again, I guess.
Or Memphis again.
Like I don't know if they're doing. I don't know.
How that's how they lost to them twice last year because it was about.
I don't know if SMU's in their division or what. Yeah. Like, I don't know
they
who they play.
Divisions.
I don't know if they're doing that either.
I don't know if they do divisions or not, but it'll probably be SMU because SMU beat Memphis already.
Okay.
So they beat them in the last second.
So you got another chance to beat them again, I guess. Like, but again, I don't know if that'll be enough to put them in. That's why I only give them like a 10% chance. It'll take teams having like two losses, I think. which is possible. Like, I mean, like we talked about, like outside of Ohio State, Clemson, and Alabama.
Yeah.
Every other team could easily have two losses. I mean, like, because Georgia's going to have to play Alabama again, or Florida will have to play Alabama, and they already have a loss as well.
Mm-hmm.
Clemson's going to play
Notre Dame.
Notre Dame's going to play Clemson twice, so they could easily have two losses. There's not going to be. There shouldn't be like a good one loss team. Like nobody in the Big Twelve is going to have much more of a better resume than Cincinnati, right?
I mean, yeah. Honestly.
I mean, I guess if Oklahoma State like you know wins this game, then beats Oklahoma at the end of the year, do they still play at the end of the year, or what? Where are they set to play this year?
I assume so.
Maybe the schedule got jumbled around.
That's what I'm saying. Are they set to play like at the end or what? Because I guess maybe Oklahoma State, if they're undefeated, would get in, but like. Like I said, I feel like Cincinnati is just as good as Oklahoma State.
Oklahoma State doesn't even have a ranked win yet, do they?
I wouldn't think so. Was Iowa State not ranked last week?
They were. Iowa State, and I wonder if West Virginia was ranked the week before.
I don't think West Virginia was ranked.
Okay. Okay, so that's their only ranked win. Probably going to be their only one. Unless Oklahoma wins out, then they'll probably be ranked at the end of the season.
And then
they play
Oklahoma.
Two weeks. So they at Texas this week. They play Kansas State, who's ranked, and we'll see if they're still ranked after this weekend. Mm. Oklahoma, and then
so maybe if Oklahoma State wins out, they're going to have a better resume. We're just going to think of them as a better resume than Cincinnati. So like I said, Cincinnati needs them to lose at least one. And then I don't know what's going to be in the Pac-12 with their six game schedule.
Oh yeah.
Like, I don't know how seriously we take them as any type of.
I think Oregon is the only team you probably take serious over there, if anything.
But like them breaking in a new quarterback this year, I don't know how good they're supposed to be. Like, I mean, I know Herbert's
supposed to be
gone.
Solid.
I'm sure he is because they recruit pretty well over there. But
we didn't even mention last week when the Mountain West came back.
No one cared.
They slid on the. We get some Mountain West after dark last weekend.
No one cared. Did any of their games register? Like, did any of their games matter?
No.
They were all late at night, weren't they?
There we go.
Well, I don't know, but like, did anybody pay attention to them?
I watched one a little bit, but
who?
I think I watched some Boise.
Oh yeah, I forgot they're in that.
But yeah, no, Boise, nothing crazy.
Boise and BYU coming up here in a few weeks.
That would be good.
Yeah,
that fourth spot though, like I said, there's not gonna be a obvious choice because it's gonna be hard to put any SEC team in there because they're all gonna have two losses. Like Georgia playing Alabama this year really hurt Georgia because like they could theoretically have like been undefeated and lost to Alabama in the conference championship game and then still gotten in. Now if they lose two to Alabama, that will be pretty tough to overcome.
I kind of hope they throw one of these group of five teams in there just because. Why not? It's pandemic year. Throw one in there.
And, like, you know, before the year, I would have been okay if they're like, okay, just for this year to recoup some money, we're going to do an 18 playoff.
Yeah, I would have liked that too, yeah.
Fine with that as well, but they didn't.
Or six teams. Doesn't even have to be eight.
Yeah. But, I mean, I would think you'd want, like, a full extra, like, extra four games, but either way.
Yeah.
Or extra,
if you're
going to
do it, you
might
as well maximize that money. Yeah.
Extra two games.
I bet BYU is going to be in the mix here at the end.
I mean, if they keep winning.
It'd be an extra four games, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, extra four games. God, math. Sometimes the simplest stuff. Sometimes the simplest stuff just seems so hard. Because if they went with six teams, it'd be an extra two games. And they went with eight teams.
We got Hawaii at Wyoming tonight. 9:45 kickoff.
Let's load up on Wyoming, boys.
Cowboys.
That Hawaii team having to travel. I'm assuming it's cold in Wyoming, right now?
Probably, it was
chilly.
Snowing in Denver last
chilly
week.
Here in Tennessee, so I'm imagining it's going to be even chillier up in Wyoming. Let's just load up on the Cowboys. Yee-haw! Round Cowboys! Ew! Hour two in the books, hour three on deck. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.